As we approached, I noticed that the two tires next to the curb on the white rental van were flat. They're worried about a getaway. Are you sure they aren't human? Murphy asked. Reasonably? She shook her head. Not good enough. Are they from the spirit world or not? Might not be able to tell until we get closer, I said. Might even need to touch one of them. She took a slow, deep breath. As soon as you're certain, she said, tell me. Shake your head if you're sure they aren't human. Nod if you can't tell or if they are. We were less than 20 feet away from the van, and there was no time to argue or ask questions. Okay. I took a few more steps and ran smack into a curtain of nauseating energy, so thick and heavy that it made my hair stand on end. A dead giveaway of a hostile supernatural presence. I twitched my head in a quick shake as the two men in gray suits spun around at precisely the same time, at precisely the same speed, to face me. Both of them opened their mouths. Before any sound could come out, Murphy produced her sidearm and shot them both in the head. Twice. Double tapping the target like that is a professional killer's policy. There's a small chance that a bullet to the head might strike a target at an oblique angle and carom him off of the skull. It isn't a huge possibility, but a double tap drops the odds from very unlikely to virtually impossible. Murphy was a cop and a competition shooter and less than 5 feet away from her targets. She did the whole thing in one smooth move, the shots coming as a single pulsing hammer of sound. The men in gray suits didn't have time to so much as register her presence, much less do anything to avoid their fate. Clear liquid exploded from the backs of their skulls, and both men dropped to the sidewalk like rag dolls, their bodies and outfits deforming like a snowman in the spring, leaving behind nothing but ectoplasm, the translucent, gooey gel that was the matter of the never-never. Hell's bells, I choked as my adrenaline spiked after the fact. Murphy kept the gun on the two until it was obvious that they weren't going to take up a second career as headless horsemen. Then she looked up and down the street, her cold blue eyes scanning for more threats as she popped the almost full clip from the SIG and slapped a fully loaded one back in. She may look like somebody's favorite aunt, but Murph can play hardball. A couple of seconds later, what sounded like the howls of a gang of rabid bandsaws filled the air. There were a lot more than 12 of them. Come on, I shouted and sprinted forward. The gray suits weren't individualists. It wasn't unthinkable that they would possess some kind of shared consciousness. Whacking the lookouts had obviously both alerted and enraged the others, and I figured that they would respond the way any colony consciousness does when one of its members gets attacked. The gray suits were coming to kill us. We couldn't afford to run, not when they were this close to Morgan and Molly. But if the gray suits caught us on the open street, we were hosed. Our only chance was to move forward, fast, to get into the storage park while they went screaming out of it looking for us. If we were quick enough, we might have time to get to the storage unit, collect Morgan and company, and make a quick escape through the portal in the floor and into the Never Never. I pounded across the street and through the entrance, with Murphy on my heels. I threw myself forward as the howls grew louder and made it into the center row just as maybe 20 or 25 gray suits came rushing out of the other rows. Some of them saw us and slammed on the brakes, throwing up gravel with their expensive shoes, putting up a new tone of howl. The others belatedly began to turn as well, and then we were all the way into the center row of storage units, still moving at a dead run. The gray suits rushed after us, but Murphy and I had a good 40-yard lead, and they didn't appear to be superhumanly light on their feet. We were going to make it. Then I remembered that the door to the storage bay was locked shut. I fumbled for the key as I ran, trying to pull it out of the front pocket of my jeans so that it would be ready. I figured that if I didn't get the door unlocked and open on the first try, the gray suits would catch up to us and kill us both. So naturally, I dropped the damn key. I cursed and slid to a stop, slipping on the gravel. I looked around wildly for the dropped key, horribly aware of the mob of gray suits rushing toward us, now in eerie silence. Harry, Murphy said. I know. She appeared beside me in a shooting stance, aiming at the nearest gray suit. Harry, I know. Metal gleamed amongst the gravel, and I swooped down on it as Murphy opened fire with precise, measured shots, sending the nearest gray suit into a tumbling sprawl. The others just vaulted over him and kept coming. I'd found the key, but it was already too late. Neither of us was going to make it to the shelter of my hideaway.